We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode. The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Love it. So there are a lot of people who are interested in building, they want to get into the business. You did give some tips earlier. What are, say, the top three things from each of you that they should be doing if they're serious and they want to get into this business? What would you say? You start with you, Justin.
Education, right? And education is not formal, right? It's not form. It doesn't have to be formal education. Like, you should read literature that applies to exactly what it is that you're trying to do. You know, general literature doesn't really like hone in on your skill, right? It's helpful at a certain point, but when I wanted to become a real estate developer, I had to go get like college course books on real estate development. I read all Dun People's everything, and I just started like specializing in development. I was already an entrepreneur. But I needed to get specific to what I was trying to do. So if you want to build homes, you need to get specific home building literature. You need to watch specific videos on YouTube about home building, right? The financial structure is going to always be like prior to like actually building, right? If you understand the finances of building, you could hire a builder and still profit. So I would say that the financial structure would always be first, understanding like money, the way money works, the way the bank lends it, the way private money, just all the aspects of finances. To be an entrepreneur, period, right? Mm-hmm. Start and understand the finances. What you got, Tabria?
For me, like you said, education, understanding finances, and saving capital. There will be the top three things: education, understanding finances, and saving capital.
Yeah. And personal development. Yeah. Yeah. Personal development, right? You have to be ready, right? This is when you're operating at a level like this, is very dangerous. And so you have to have a certain amount of emotional intelligence, and you have to have a certain amount of discipline, right? It's a very dangerous thing if you don't. So I would say make sure that you're mature enough, make sure that you're emotionally mature enough, you know, to get involved in something like this or entrepreneurship. So I hear just to be totally honest, I hear everybody, entrepreneur, start a LLC, do this and do that. It's not for everyone. It's very, if you're not mentally like stable or if you're not ready to like to take the punches, man, what's wrong with making, having a good job, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say it's just, it's not for everyone. You make sure you're ready before you come here, because you're going to have to run a marathon and it's going to be a lot of blows that you're going to have to recover from. Right. You're going to have to get off the ground a lot. You know, you're going to have to get used to it. And it's absolutely worth it, though. I'll say that. I'll say it's absolutely worth it. For me, it's absolutely worth it. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. So we spoke about your backgrounds a little bit earlier. And again, it's amazing what y'all have been able to do together and what y'all are on the way to do. I want to get into the backstory a little bit, because I know growing up, both of you had exposure to the space and different aspects of it. So we'd love to get a little bit more into that, because I think that's a big part of like what we see now. So we'd love to just hear about your background, getting into the business, exposure you had, all that stuff. We start with you, Terrell.
Well, for me, like I said, my father been in construction. He actually incorporated in 87, which is the year I was born. So ever since I was a baby, I was being exposed to construction. On the weekends, we would go to the job sites with him week after week. And then finally, I guess when I hit about high school, I remember on the weekend doing my first job with him, he had me cleaning out some baptismal pools, picking up cigarette butts on the job site. You know, he left me there and I cleaned up the baptismal pool, swept the site, got it clean. And from that point forward, I was working in the field, you know, doing some things, did some carpentry work, left there. I was working with guys. I was just like, I can't see myself doing, being on this level my whole life. So I advanced and started doing architectural drawings and some project management in the evening time. So I would work, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock. And then I would go do an estimate at 4 o'clock in the evening. And I would try to put those estimates and stuff together. And then I just went from there and started doing some project management, working on military bases, did a lot of renovation work on dormitories, apartments, replacing the commissary, HVAC units, just very blessed. God put me in a situation to see a lot of things through my father's company that you typically wouldn't get to see at that young age. Just him seeing the gift and on me allowed me to be superintendent on projects at a young age. So wow. Being that superintendent and actually taking a job serious, you know, they say women mature a lot sooner than men, but construction, it makes you mature a lot faster. So actually being on the job a lot sooner, being in these situations, learning how to operate equipment early, it was a natural God-given gift. Went from there and started project management. Then we started building a lot of churches, doing a lot of renovations on the malls, doing interior build outs. Then we expanded working on hospitals in New Orleans and Alexandria, send those pieces. Then we started working in Charlotte, North Carolina on the convention center. So I was just traveling around working on all these different type of projects, getting experience in them. Broad band of things, you know, until it was time and God spoke to me and showed me along with Justin that it was time for me to kind of, you know, step out, you know, on my own. So that's kind of just a little bit, mm-hmm. little bit of history, a little background. I was already, while I was working with my dad, I was already doing a lot of flips and stuff as well, yeah. Buying houses. Me and my wife was buying and flipping and selling. That was before she came a realtor. And then just kept growing and we're here now.
Mm-hmm. Love it. What does your dad think of what you're doing now?
It's development. So he supports me mm-hmm. in my decision and everything that I'm doing. But his dream was always for me to, you know, run his company.
Yeah.
To do those things. You know how you had a son that you wanted to, you know, so it is a hard pill to swallow, which it was a hard pill for me to leave because my father, he showed me a lot. He had been right by my side. He never left me and he's still right by my side, you know? And so, it was really a hard pill to swallow, you know? But I'm still swallowing it, you know? Yeah. But I'm making it through, you know? And, we here, but he supports me and he's here for me for sure. Matter of fact, we use them. We work vertically with them. They help us on our projects as well. Nice. They're subcontractors for us and help do certain things on the job. So we still working together, making things happen for sure.
Love it, love it. Why you, Justin?
So I grew up in a small town, Manning, Louisiana. Come from a really close-knit family. My granddad was a carpenter and he pretty much was like the guy who built all of the house. So it's a lot of like shotgun houses and wood frame houses. So he's like the guy who built all the houses in my neighborhood. I would always, when I was really young, I would see him like on the roof, putting roofs on and shingles. And I would see him, you know, I see him every morning. I see him get up and put his tool belt on, put his hammer and stuff in. And I had another uncle who owned an HVAC company and another uncle who did a lot of plumbing. So from like 12 and 13, I always worked with my uncle who did HVAC and electrical work. And so I always kind of been around it. I graduated high school and I moved to Dallas and lived with one of my aunts for a while. And I got a job at a large production home building company, right? And so I worked there for maybe like 6 or 7 months and went off into the Air Force after that. And so stayed in the Air Force 13 years, 12 and a half years. Decided I was going to go like save the world for a while, you know. And I did the Air Force thing for 13 years. After that, while I was in the Air Force, though, I started a landscaping firm. So I would cut grass and do landscaping. And that's my entrance into entrepreneurship. Started with a lawnmower and one other guy, you know. And it went from, I left the Air Force, and so it went from like doing a lot of residential homes. We did a lot of commercial landscaping and a lot. It grew into a pretty nice sized company, basically. And while I was landscaping, I started flipping houses. So I started renovating and flipping houses. And that's kind of how I got into this industry. I went from flipping houses to building new construction houses. And I went to college for a little while to learn to build, but the course was like 4 years. And so I was like, I have children. I got a lot going on. I can't wait 4 years to start, you know? So I asked the professor for all of the books for the rest of the courses. And I bought all the textbooks and I sit down for 3 months and read every textbook from cover to cover.
Who was your professor over there?
Oh yeah. So funny story, Terrell's brother taught me a class in college.
No way.
Yeah.
So I met Justin.
Yeah. So he has a brother who's an engineer and he taught me a class in college. And so I knew his brother prior to me meeting him. And just for the record, I like his brother a lot more than I like him. That's my construction career, like, happened. That's how it happened.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.